Parting is such sweet sorrow. For anyone who has left someone or lost someone or gone from someone, and of course I have done all of the above, even if it's just for a short time, parting is sorrow. It is not easy. I cannot imagine, though she knew what was coming, and she was not ignorant of anything, all things were revealed to her by her Lord, in private and in her good time and in his good time, I cannot imagine how the Blessed Mother must have felt. For 33 years and 9 months, she had Jesus next to her in a most exquisite way that we cannot possibly imagine. And so now, even though she knows that soon they will be together again, and that spiritually they will not be separated, and also because of the holy sacrament of the Eucharist, which she received, maybe every day, that she would have him with her, nevertheless, just as you and I, we do not see him walking around. He is not speaking to us into our ears. He is speaking to us into our hearts and our souls. He is not visible to our eyes, though perhaps some of you may indeed see him. And so therefore there is a parting, and it is a sweet sorrow. But why does he do this? If he had stayed, do you think that anybody would have been more obedient and more loving towards him and his church than they are now, than they were at his time when they put him to death because they did not believe in him? Of course not. So that would have made no difference. Maybe to a couple of us, but not for the most people. But also, as we know in Trinitarian theology, and as you know, that is my specialty, it's the most difficult part of theology there is. When I went to sign up for my dissertation at the university in Rome, at the Angelicum, the secretary said, "You are a rare bird." And I said, "Why is that?" He says, "Nobody would dare approach such a subject. Not in this day and age." But nevertheless, I said, "Well, that's exactly what I will do." And then when I tell him who my mentor would be, he said, "You're really crazy." He was the most difficult, most exacting theologian, a master of theology in the Dominican order. That's the highest degree in theology there is. Father Albert Papford, may he rest in peace, a very dear professor and teacher. And when he took my manuscripts and gave them back, they were all covered in red. And I said, "You expect me to do all this? You gotta be kidding." But the thing is, the Trinity, as we see in the Trinitarian theology, that everything that happens on earth is a mirror of everything that happens in heaven. So in heaven, eternally, and that's almost impossible for us to grasp, in heaven, the Son, the Word, proceeds from the Father, only from the Father. And as the Church teaches infallibly, though part of her is in heresy and refuses to accept it, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. So the Father could not send the Holy Spirit by himself, because that was contrary to his nature. Even God has his nature, divine, eternal, ethereal, incredible, beyond our reach, beyond our understanding. But he has his nature, and he cannot break with his nature, just as he will not break our nature. He has given us free will, and we do with it as we will, for better or for worse, for heaven or for hell. And that's up to you, up to me, to decide in each moment of our lives. But he goes according to that nature which he has set up aside. And in his case, he did not set it aside. It always was. He always was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that is impossible for us to understand, as our Lord revealed to St. Augustine on the seashores of the Mediterranean near Hippo. And so, the Father sends the Son. The Son has come. He has accomplished His mission to teach the truth, to save mankind. And those, that is, those who wish to be saved, our free will is of the utmost importance. It is not shoved down our throats. It is not. And then He has to go back for two reasons in particular. There are many. I'm not going to go into all of them. But one, He takes with Him something that He did not bring with Him. And what do you think that is? He brings with Him our human nature. He goes back not just as a second person of the Trinity, as God eternal, as the Word about whom we shall hear again at the end of the Mass in the prologue of St. John's Gospel. In principio erat verbum, en arche en ho logos. So He takes with Him what? His human nature, our human nature, so that He takes us with Him. Even though we are still here, it is only for us a virtual ascension in a sense. But He takes us with Him. With Him, a sense that humanity in which He suffered, died, and raised Himself from the dead on the third day. And then, the second reason, of the many reasons, He then, with the Father, just as with the Father, He spirates the love one for the other, which is a person, because in God, anything that is in God is God, and is a person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we shall see in 10 days, at the octave of Pentecost, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, He comes, He brings to us, He sends to us His very Holy Spirit. But He and the Father send Him at Pentecost. And throughout our lives, and the rest of the year mirrors that, as we shall see in 10 days, that the Holy Spirit is the one who is now responsible for everything that we do on earth, for our salvation, for all the sacraments, for the Mass. We begin in the name of the three persons of the Trinity. We end with the blessing of the three persons of the Trinity. We make the sign of the cross many times, not just as a gesture, as some people do. My father used to say they make the sign of the cross as if they were swatting flies. What do they think they're doing? With reverence, with patience, with love, and as a result, He is in charge. Everything that we do now until the second coming of Christ, whenever that is, and He is not telling us. There are many people who claim to know. I don't believe it. He is not telling us. Not because He can't, but because He won't. It is not our time. If we knew that tomorrow was the end of the world, would we do as we usually do and sin back and black and white and every direction that there is? No. We would be really good. But not because we are really good, but because we want to get a good report card. That's the way it is. We are frail human beings. So He does not tell us. Now some saints, they're told at certain times in their lives, this day I will come for you. And they do. And sometimes they have told others. And so, who knows? Maybe you know, maybe I know. That's up to Him to know. But in the meantime, He wants us to behave. He wants us to pray. He wants us to assist at Mass and the sacraments, especially the sacrament of penance, of holy confession, which some people are afraid of. But they should be afraid of God, the Judge Almighty, and not of some measly priest, even if he is a canon. And we have another canon here with us tonight, one of the many canons of St. John Cantius. And of course, yesterday we had the feast of St. Stanislaus of Cracovia, another Polish canon. And so, but it doesn't matter who the priest is, or the bishop, or even the Pope himself. John Paul II, when I was a seminarian, started to hear confessions on Good Friday. And everybody wanted to know, will you go to confession to him? I said, no. He already knows too much. And on top of that, he is no better in the confessional than any priest. He is a priest in the confessional, just as the others, and just as I will be whenever he ordains me, which he did. And so, he wants us to go to confession. He wants us to be good. He wants us to be pure, so that we be ready when the moment comes. But in the meantime, he is gone, and of course the Paschal candle, and to me the extinguishing of the Paschal candle after the Gospel on today's feast is a very sad event. It is, as I said, parting is such sweet sorrow. But it is only a symbol. A symbol of the risen Christ, who is the light of the world. So today, as we celebrate these mysteries, let us give thanks to God. And tomorrow we begin the wondrous novena to the Holy Spirit, the most important novena, commanded by Jesus himself. Do not go anywhere. And the Blessed Mother and the Apostles prayed for the Holy Spirit to be lavished upon the Church. And then on Pentecost Sunday, he came like a mighty wind and tongues of fire, and their hearts were filled with the fire of divine love. Let it be so for you. Let it be so for me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.